years in May, 40 years ago in May is when I was immersed, and it was in Columbus, Indiana, and we met many brethren we'd never seen before. And coming out of the world, it was kind of a puzzle. What are all these individuals interested in me for? I never even met them. And one of the great blessings, at that time, Sister Isabel was skeptical, as before she was consecrated, of the truth. And I was really concerned about what that was going to be. And the individual who was especially encouraging to me was Sister Evelyn Duran. And I found out later, because she was so encouraging about that, I found out later that her husband had passed 3 weeks before then, Brother Irwin. It was a really good lesson about how the brethren are encouragers and comforters, even in the times of their own loss. Well, brethren, as you can guess from the hymn, our subject has to do with renewal and refreshing. And we use this title, Christian Never Give Up. And can you see this okay? Okay, good. Thank you. We wanted to start with, there was an article in the Chicago Tribune from May of 2019. And the title of that article is Death Wanted Him, But This Day God Said No. The article deals with a problem that is very common in our world today, and I will refer to it as burnout. When we think of all the pressures and the troubles that the world has, and brethren, I believe this is in every line of human endeavor. In this particular article, there's a discussion of the pressures that the first-line responders, the police, the firefighters, the healthcare workers, that they all have. And in this article, this quote, this title, comes from a fireman who made this point that death wanted this child, but I've got to explain the experience, do this right. What had happened is a woman had brought a baby to a firehouse, and the baby was near death. It had actually stopped breathing. And they described the baby as being blue and cold. And so the paramedics at the firehouse are striving to revive this baby. They contact the police. They could clear the roads as much as they can to get to the hospital as quickly as they can. And in this story, they describe how they get the baby to the hospital, and they really don't know if it's going to live or not. And there's a team of doctors in the room. There's a team of nurses supporting them and others supporting them. And even outside that, you have the policemen who are involved and the firemen who are involved around. And the firemen are saying, live, baby, live. They wanted that child to have life, brethren. And the article discusses how, and this is in Chicago, if you think about some of the things people in our society have to deal with, the problems that they have, and brethren, we know the hopes that we have, and how does the world manage every day without the hopes of the kingdom, and how all these things will be fixed? Well, in this story, the baby does live. But the article makes the point, the one fireman who had received the baby, he had told the Lord, and it was like these firemen, the description of the article, like they were bargaining with the Lord to save this baby's life. And this one man said, Lord, if this baby dies, I'm quitting. I can't take this anymore. I'm never going to do this again. Of course, the baby lives, and he does continue. But brethren, we share that because it's an example of the pressures in life today that the world has. We as part of the church have our own pressures, but we have these tremendous helps from our Heavenly Father. And we really wanted to look at today this point about not being weary in well-doing. Just one quote from the article. The river of violence that flows through Chicago takes not only the dead and the hearts of their loved ones, but it also takes something from those who witness the death day after day. The paramedics and the patrol officers, the detectives, the ER nurses, and the doctors. Death grabs at their souls too and tries to break them. Oh, brethren, how wonderful it will be when the kingdom comes. But this is what mankind experiences now. They have to see the fullness of the lesson of permission of evil. And mankind's getting testimonies, brethren, along every avenue of human life, not just the first responders. Brethren, there's an article, actually just November 16th from The Atlantic. The article's called Why Healthcare Workers Are Quitting in Droves, that COVID has put such pressure upon the health system that many people who went into it, I mean, for the noblest of reasons, they just cannot take it any further, and how many are leaving, and it's just adding more pressure to the healthcare system. Now, brethren, like I said, we have pressures ourselves. How do we deal with those? How do we not be weary in well-doing is our subject from Galatians 6:9, which you know very well. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And another translation, and this is the New American Standard, let us not lose heart. This idea of weariness really has to do with at heart. It's not talking about weariness in the flesh. We all have that. But it's really a heart weariness that's being talked about. And of course, the point, in due season we will reap if we do not grow weary. So this calls to mind, verse 7, the idea, whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. So, brethren, this really emphasizes the daily aspect of our consecration. And that's what we'd like to really look at, daily refreshment and renewal. What are those things that weary us, and what do we do about those items? Brother Brian already brought up the point about gardening. There's a wonderful reprint, 1428, that talks about heart gardening. And the point there is, we don't realize the extent to which we have to do with forming our characters. Brethren, there's a very important point here, and I'm guilty of this when I early consecrated. Sometimes we may think, you know, it's all about study. We have to study and learn the truth, and then character development will follow. We really have to cultivate the fruits and graces that have been discussed already at this convention. And again, it's a daily matter we want to keep in mind. Again, that's reprint 4828. We keep in mind that weed seed is sin. You don't want those seeds of wrong thoughts to come in and take lodge and grow and bear fruit. It'll be a bitter fruitage. And it's interesting, that article, Brother Russell makes a distinction between vegetable seeds as kind of the practical moral qualities. And we like this, brethren, because sometimes we forget. We think Christianity is all about character development, and that's critical, dear friends. But that's also what the world of mankind will be doing in the kingdom. The church is called even higher. And so the other seeds, the fruit seeds, represent the heavenly and the spiritual graces. Now, brethren, this to me is so amazing. How do you prepare a new creature? How do you prepare individuals to be ready for a spirit body, to use it effectively? I mean, we're learning now to think as the Heavenly Father thinks. This is why we have such deep experiences and unusual ones. So it isn't just the character development, and I don't even want to say just the character, because that's a huge attainment, to have the character of Christ. But it's also to have the mind that sees beyond the day-to-day experiences, that realizes what sacrifice means on behalf of mankind. I mean, we're learning to look very differently at all those things that happen to us day by day. And as you know, if you sow to the flesh in the picture, you get a garden full of weeds. Where if you sow to the spirit, you get something very beautiful, brethren. You know, this is one thing we love about Jesus, brethren, and the apostles. The lessons are simple. Any society from any time in history can comprehend and get something from these lessons. Very common. Well, brethren, if you know the life cycle of plants, and we love very much in the parable of the sower, and this is from Luke 8:15, we're told to bear fruit with patience. Not just bearing fruit, but bear fruit with patience. Now, we appreciate this picture, dear brethren, because, you know, it takes a long time for plants to develop before they even bear fruit. Did you ever plant a seed and the next day you saw fruitage? It takes time. And I think this is part of the lesson, that there's quite a bit of development that goes before you can have the flower and before you can have the fruit. And brethren, even once you have the fruit, the best gardeners will tell you, we're prone to pick things a little too soon. That to get the full sweetness of the fruit, it takes a little extra time. Sister Karen pointed out to me one time, the word mellow is such a beautiful word. It actually has to do with really the full ripeness of a fruit. So it's one thing to develop the fruit, but you also want to bring it to its full ripeness. So that's why it's bear this fruit with patience. We would add in here Romans 2, 6 through 9, the Lord will render every man according to his deeds to those who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory, honor, immortality. Brethren, again, patient continuance in well-doing. Well, what is well-doing? That's an interesting thought. You know, appreciate how the brethren focus on the words, because sometimes there are such wonderful lessons just in the word study. So again, going back to the American Standard, let us not lose heart in well-doing, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. That idea of well-doing is very interesting. It's a word that means beautiful, and it seems to be on an inward focus, that we have work to do, again, in our own personal heart gardens for the fruits and graces, and also the spiritual corresponding fruits and graces. It is a sowing to the Spirit. So again, it's inwardly focused. But verse 10 goes on to say, so then while we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are the household of faith. Well, here's the outward focus, dear brethren. And there's a different word here used for good. And the idea there is the general good. It is not beautiful. I mean, we need to really focus on developing that character in Christ. At the same time, we're to do all kinds of good as we have opportunity. And that's good whether it's appreciated or not appreciated. So what is well-doing in blessing others? Brethren, at work, one of the things I've had emphasized is what's called the highest and best use of anyone's time. If you want an organization to be efficient, okay, then each job has particular responsibilities, and I shouldn't be doing another person's job. I should be doing those things only I can do in my role. That's the highest and best use. So what's the highest and best use of a Christian's time? Brethren, first and foremost, I would say being a burning and shining light in this world. You know, this would be doing good for others. You only can give the good news, brethren. Your neighbor can't give the good news, brethren, because they don't know it. Sometimes we underestimate how important just the witnesses we are. That starts first, of course, with our characters. It's really what others see in us that gives weight to the words that we speak. You know, Sister Rebecca Chastain had an experience years ago. She was witnessing to one of the nurses she worked with. And this nurse listened, but she didn't know there was another nurse further on listening. And she never said a word to Rebecca for 6 months because she thought, what she's saying is too good to be true. She can't live up to that. And so she watched her for 6 months, dear brethren. We appreciate that story because that is how the world looks at it. They think Christians are hypocrites. Do you really strive to live according to what you're saying? So if you are, and they hear your words, they're much more prone to accept it when they see a character that has consistency with what's being shared. But we put that first, dear brethren. And then we had this conversation yesterday with Brother Homer and others that, you know, if individuals are interested in the truth, we don't just give them the truth and let them go, but then there's still development and encouragement of that interest. That's really important. We don't just let go of someone once the witness has been given and they've accepted the truth. And, of course, there's loyalty to God and to Jesus. Brethren, some of the best experiences Sister Karen and I have had been in witnessing where you've had opposition. And some of it is just the fact of being with an ecclesia where you're sharing the efforts together. But it's also, you think about the scripture of not being ashamed of Christ, of suffering for him. There's something particularly that receiving persecution and difficulty does in Christian character development. Something that's beyond other experience. At least that's how what we've learned from it. And brethren, the preparation for the future work of blessing the world. Did you ever have an experience you just totally scratched your head out? It just came out of the blue. And you're like, where in the world did that come from? And what is that for? And then maybe you thought, you know, other people in the world have this experience. This must be so I can sympathize with them, so I can be ready to understand and appreciate. Now, there are the things you can add to this list, Brett, and this is just mine in terms of what I think of, what kind of well-doing can I do for others? I haven't emphasized as much the well-doing in the ecclesia, because there's much there. This is a little more focused on doing good to others. Reprint 24:14 is very helpful on the correct view of the church's mission. There's a lot of different thoughts about what the church should be doing now. It's very strong on letting our light shine. So we'd like to take a look at why are we weary? What are these things that drag us down? One of the first things here is just our own failings. You know, Paul, aren't you glad Paul said those things I would do, I don't do, and oh, this body of death that he mentioned. I mean, he really gave us help along this line. I think one of the most discouraging things for us, we have such high ideals to serve the Lord, and we fall so miserably short sometimes. And that is what he says, wretched man that I am, who will deliver us from this body of death? Brethren, the adversary will try to discourage you. I'm sure he does all the time. He is the great accuser. He wants to knock you down. He doesn't want the church to make its calling election sure. Yes, you have failings. Yes, they're bad. Yes, you want to do better. That's why God in Christ provided grace for you. When the Lord called you, he knew you were going to make some lulu mistakes, brother. He knew you would. The question is, how soon do you pick yourself up? How well do you appreciate that grace that's provided in Christ? You just read a reference, brother. It was just really, you know, you read the volumes and you think you've got it, then you catch something. Brother Russell just makes the point, the Lord has arranged it so that our situation as we are in the flesh, he knows we're going to make mistakes and lots of them. The question is, are you going to appreciate that grace every day? Are you going to go for forgiveness and resolve to try harder, brethren? Are you that committed to righteousness? Are you that committed against sin? Brethren, you know, it's interesting. The lesson of the manna, gathering daily, I think is so important. There's a story about a rich man who gave his son a lot of money when he came of age. The young man goes off, and I don't know if it was a world tour, just exactly how he squandered, but in a short time he spent all that money, and he comes back to dad. And he's out of money, and he needs help, and his dad helps him, but his dad only gives him a little bit this time. And one of the neighbors asked, well, you know, you gave him so much at the start. Why don't you do that again? Why are you just giving him a little? And the rich man said, I want to see my son. So the son would come back every day, and every day he got a little bit from his father, brethren. Our Heavenly Father wants that from us as well, brethren. That's why it's manna every day and grace for every need. He wants to see us come to him and appreciate what he has in his hand for us. Another reason for weariness is long-standing trials. And friends, this one makes me shake in my boots, frankly. When you think of the meekest man in all the earth, so attuned to the Heavenly Father's will, having to put up with the complaints of the nation of Israel for so long, the wonderful deliverances they had, how soon they forgot the deliverance through the plagues, how soon they forgot the giving of the law. I mean, brethren, it is really a lesson. And late in life, Moses errs. He doesn't follow the Lord's direction when he tells him to speak to the rock. to bring water forth for mankind. Instead, he smites the rock as he had done once before the first time they were in that place. And he loses the opportunity to go into the promised land as a result. The meekest man in all the earth makes a terrible mistake at the end. Brethren, this really tells me how important it is for us to be faithful on down to the end. We are never exempt from trials until we've drawn our last breath. We have to be faithful unto death. And so we need this refreshment and renewal so we're not worn down. Many of us have experiences you wonder, when will this end, brethren? And it's very wearing. How do we deal with that? We'll get to that in a moment. Another cause of weariness is not accepting the Lord's corrections. Do you really believe, I mean really, really believe that the Lord overrules all things for your good? Think of the hardest experience you've had. Think of the hardest experience that you may have someday. Will you accept that from your Heavenly Father? Will you look beyond the immediate trial? And with spiritual eyesight, grasp that's necessary for your development and improving as a new creature? Can you look at your experiences, every single one, in that way? That's what's really critical. Proverbs 3:11 says, don't despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. You know, sometimes we crave things, brethren, the Lord doesn't permit us to have. You know, the Lord sometimes says, no, we may have aspirations for this or that. Do we accept those things? Do we look to serve in the way he would have us to serve, in whatever capacity that it is? Hebrews 12:10 says he disciplines us for our good in order that we may share his holiness. That's amazing. Be ye holy as your heavenly Father is holy. That's why these disciplines are so critical. And brethren, Hebrews 12, 5 through 7, it's really a quote of Proverbs 3, 11 through 12. And I didn't put up here, but Proverbs 3, 12 says, the Lord reproves the one he loves as a father the son in whom he delights. Do you realize your pruning experiences, the difficult trials, those are evidences of your father's love? He wants you as part of the divine family, but there's development that has to take place first. And proving. Divine family, brethren, they'll be so committed to righteousness they would never do or think of anything different. And in a world that's filled with evil, wow, do we need these difficult experiences, friends? You know, that's an important thing, brethren. Do you react when you have a hard trial that, what did I do wrong? What do I need to do to fix this? And that's the natural way man looks at it. The new creature looks at it. The Lord sees I can bear this for him. I wonder what I'm going to gain from this. So this is from Exodus 18:18, where Jethro comes to visit Moses and the children of Israel as they're traveling through the desert. And Jethro sees Moses doing all the judging of the people, and he criticizes Moses. He says, you take too much on yourself. This task is too heavy for you. Brethren, this is a good one for us to keep in mind as we look at our brethren. Sometimes in ecclesias, there may be one or two that do all this work, when others maybe need to help out and spread the load a little bit more. And so Jethro says, the task is too heavy to you. Moses goes to the Lord. And the Lord says, yes, appoint 70 judges to take the smaller cases, and you keep the larger ones. So sometimes we're worried because we feel like everything's fallen on us. Well, brethren, we should develop others and seek for assistance. If there's no one, ask the Lord to direct. Ask for additional strength in that case. But if there's others to help, get them involved. It'll be a great blessing to them. Seeming delays in God's plan. You know, the church in the scriptures, this is Revelation 6:10, is shown as asking the Lord, how long? How long is it going to be? How long will these terrible things continue? And, of course, this scripture in Revelation 6 has to do with the church at a time when papacy's power was especially in persecution of the church. Brethren, I think we look today and we wonder how long can the world take it? How much more is there going to be? We have to leave the time in the Lord's hands. Psalm 94:3, I think, was read yesterday. You know, the scriptures promise. Sometimes we need to take a scripture like this and combine it with one. In Psalm 37, it speaks about how the wicked shall be no more. In the kingdom, they'll look for the wicked and they won't find them, for example. Sometimes we need to take, you know, something that is a difficult prophecy and look at the promise that really answers the question. So overcoming weariness, dear brethren, you all know this scripture, Isaiah 40:31. Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. You know, brethren, we don't want these trials to burn us out, like we were saying about the world at the beginning. The issue for us is renewal. Just as the eagles fly, and they have the air currents that buoy them up, dear brother, we need to have renewal in our experience that maintains our strength. We may think of it as renewing our consecrations regularly, daily, in one place Brother Russell suggests. Our contact with our Father and with Jesus are both really critical in this. Our prayer life, our studies, how we hold on to the promises. You know, brethren, what we're asked to do in one sense is not hard. I mean, these are simple things. It's the devotion of heart with which we do them, the earnestness, how we take these in, how we apply them, dear brethren, that are critical. So if we are weary, I think it's a sign we need to go back to basics. We'll get into that a bit more. But those who wait for the Lord, they not only renew their strength, they mount up with wings as eagles. They have a perspective, brethren, like an eagle's, the clearness of sight from on high. And brethren, I think it's remarkable. You have a perspective because of the truth of what's happening in the world that is amazing. You think about everyone's in darkness, but you see, your eyes have been opened to these things. And we can see our own individual part. Go back just 1 minute. Brethren, we especially love Psalm 27, verse 14. To us, it's a real key. That scripture says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart." I'd like you to really think about that, about patience and about waiting. What does waiting on the Lord mean? It means there's an expectation. There's a promise that we're looking for from the Lord. If we are properly waiting on the Lord, then our expectation is growing as time passes. And I believe that is what the point is about, he shall strengthen your heart. If you're laying hold on those promises and really taking them in, and brethren, I mean this in a personal way. We can believe in the grandness of the plan, the greatness of it, and how wonderful this is going to be the work for the world and everyone, and we can leave ourselves out. We have to make sure that we look at those promises and realize those are given to us. What are you going to do with those promises? And do you believe the all things again? Do you believe you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you? Brethren, as you meet the experiences of life, it's important to take a promise or promises, grasp them. Just recently, brethren, I had a huge blessing. I told the Lord, here's this scripture, and I've had trouble with a certain experience. And I told the Lord, I'm going to take you at your word, Lord. This scripture says you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. I was in a position where I felt like it was impossible. I couldn't see a way out of it. And the Lord took care of it. And I just said, pray and told the Lord, this is what you say, Lord. I believe you're as good as your word. Help me today in this experience. And brother, you know what happened? I got the best witness I've ever had in my life as a Christian come out of it. That's what the Lord did. Okay. Brother Jerry was talking about expect the unexpected. I told him, this is the scripture for expect the unexpected. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or think. You should expect a lot out of the Lord, brethren, and he'll do better. So wait on the Lord. He doesn't always give you an answer immediately. Wait on him. He'll strengthen your heart. You be of good courage and he'll strengthen your heart. Brother, that point about running and not being weary, and I had to chuckle, friends, because the way the Lord puts conventions together. This is a picture of a tribe in Mexico called the Rarimuri. This tribe runs. They don't walk. They run everywhere, okay? When the Spanish came in to colonize back in the 1500s, they went up into the mountains. They run on top of the mountains. It is not much for them, brethren, to run 200 miles at a setting. They'll run for a couple of days. Everywhere they go, they run, brethren. They even, when they're hunting, they can use bow and arrow, but they can also run longer than the deer or the turkeys or whatever, and they just run them until they fall over, and that's how they hunt. Now, if you ever think you can't do something, you can think about these people. Sometimes our expectations are limiting us, and especially when you have the Lord's help, don't limit yourself by your expectations. Let the Lord direct and help you with his grace. We don't always know what his will is. There's always that limiter on it. But you can always expect the Lord's help in his time, and he will give it. He will give it better than you expect, dear brethren. We'd like to read from that Isaiah 40. We'll start with verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not grow faint or weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. All of us, young and old, are subject to weariness. But then, those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Brethren, I think this is a good picture of our consecration too. You know, we want to go as quickly as we can in our consecration, and yet we have to do it at a pace that is doable. We shouldn't, you know, go in fits and starts. We want to find that pace of service in our consecration that, you know, is the best that we can maintain over a period of time. So we can go the distance, so to speak, as these runners do. Some other texts on overcoming weariness. 2 Corinthians 4:1. Now, we've had some discussion with Apostle Paul, and I think it's been read here a couple passages about how the Apostle Paul experienced troubles in the deep, and he was stoned and left for dead, and, you know, how he endured opposition of all sorts. Here Paul is saying, it's by God's mercy we're engaged in this ministry. We don't lose heart. You know, Paul could be very discouraged, brethren. In Galatians, it talks about how he was pressed above measure, that he even despaired of life at one time. He experienced great depression. And here he is, you know, going back in his mind thinking he consented to Stephen's death. He had that to live with, just as Peter had to live with denying the Lord, brethren. What is the key here? He recognizes the Lord gave him this wonderful ministry. But the key to it was his recognition of God's mercy. Again, going back to the grace that's provided in Christ, brethren, we want to be very strong in realizing our need and leading on Christ's merit and recognize that's all of God's mercy, brethren. And I think, brethren, that should be a daily realization for all of us. Another text, Isaiah 50, verse 4. This was prophesied about Jesus, that the Lord had given him the tongue of a teacher, that he would know how to sustain the weary with the word. Brethren, you ever think about what it means that Jesus' words are spirit and their life? How sustaining those are? The lessons that were given in the scriptures? And brethren, there's a February 8th manna where it's on Matthew 14:31, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? The article goes into how do you develop faith. But I think this would apply also to overcoming weariness. How do we cultivate faith? And the points in that manna are that we refresh on the promises. We become very familiar with those. Brethren, I'll tell you one that I really lean hard on is there's no weapon that is formed against thee that shall prosper. You read the context of that, brethren, it's beautiful. It talks about how the Lord knows how weapons are made. So obviously, if he knows how weapons are made, he can make them go haywire, brethren, just very easily. He knows all about it. We don't have to worry. It doesn't matter what weapon is brought. It doesn't matter if the weapon works and we're delivered into evildoers' hands or we lose our life. That's a deliverance to the other side, dear brethren. The deliverance is always sure. We just don't know what form that deliverance is going to take. But cultivating faith, refreshing on the promises. And then he goes into this part about remember the promises belong to you personally. So we really emphasize that. A lot of the brethren, I think, have difficulty with applying the promises to themselves. It's really important. And there's various ways we can do that. Talking to the Lord in prayer to say, Lord, I see this promise. I'm going to take you at your word. Talk about them in the testimonies with the brethren, in your fellowship one with another. There's a thought in that, man, I really like that, you know, we claim them in our conferences on holy things with one another. Do you think when you have fellowship with a brethren, those are holy conferences? I mean, you can discuss each other's experience, encourage one another, help each other lay hold of those promises, remind each other of them. In reprint 35:36, Brother Muhammad loved this, friends. We hear about this a lot at home. Brother Russell refers to the Society of Encouragers. And there he speaks about how Mary is one of the most prominent members, you know, Mary who anointed Jesus before his death. You know, brethren, we should be alert in our brethren's experiences as we see them have trials and so forth. You know, we help ourselves claim the promises when we share them with others, brethren. It can't help but help us if we discuss with others. And brethren, I'll tell you, and I'm sorry, this is all, you know, past experience for me. But Brother David Chastain, you can tell the Chastains are very prominent in my early experiences. I noticed when we had testimonies, and there were four of us who were very young in the truth, I noticed whoever had testified about the most challenging experience that week at intermission, because we would have a study the next hour, he would always go to the one who had the hardest experience and speak with them, brethren. I think he was very much one in that Society of Encouragers. That's a real privilege we have, to be sons and daughters of consolation, to be encouragers of each other in this way. And we help ourselves as well. And brethren, one of the best things for overcoming weariness is considering the Master. You ever have a trial and you wonder how you're going to get through that, and then you think, well, is this like what Jesus went through? And you realize, wow, this is a little experience compared to that. You ever think about what your hardest experiences are? Mine are often being misunderstood, where you mean to do something good and the world takes it totally wrong, or sometimes even the brethren don't understand your motivation. Well, what did Jesus do except be completely misunderstood? He was dying for those who took his life. If you have experience that's being misunderstood, you find it difficult, in a very small way, that is like what the Master had, brethren. And it can really help you to appreciate your having experience similar to his. And again, they're all smaller than his experiences. And brethren, you know, I think one of the most amazing things about Jesus' life on this earth and what he had to endure. Okay, and what he had to endure. Do you remember what the adversary said to him in his temptations? He questioned his relationship with the Lord. He said, if you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Or jump from the pinnacle of the temple. Do you realize, brethren, what was said when he was on the cross? What the Pharisees said to him? If you be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Brethren, that is the adversary's favorite mode of attack. Question your relationship with the Lord. Try to break the connection between you and Him. This is why I emphasize, take those promises, apply them to yourself. Because that is the way to defeat the adversary and to carry through to the end like our Master did. Here we have with the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 4:16, a very familiar text. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Here's that inward man renewal, brethren. And we should see, as is suggested here, we should see the outward man perishing. We should see ourselves becoming more and more out of harmony with the world and what the world wants and the flesh's desires and all of that. And we'll see the inward man being renewed as we carry forward, you know, our daily walk. Another point, it's interesting again how these things fit together. Brother Jerry was talking earlier about importunity in prayer. Luke 18 has the importunate widow, the story of her who was trying to get justice from the judge. And the judge just kept putting her off, but she kept going back to him. And he finally realized she's not going to go away until I give her what she wants. He didn't do it because it was right. He did it to get rid of her. Okay. And of course, the point that Brother Jerry brought out is how the Lord hears our prayers. We have answers guaranteed to us as new creatures. So prayer. Don't lose heart in prayer, brother. You have difficult trials. Brethren, sometimes I have experiences I just don't understand. Just lay it before the Lord. Tell Him all about it. Tell Him you want to be faithful, but you don't know how to do it. Ask for His guidance. That's important to not lose heart, brethren. You know, you find a refrain over and over again in the Scriptures of the heart. How important earnestness, how the Lord is looking, not for our outward conduct, but what we are at heart. Here's the Apostle Paul again. This is in his last visit with the Ephesian elders. He's on his way to Jerusalem, and it's been prophesied that he's going to be put in bonds and taken captive in Jerusalem at that point. And he's basically saying goodbye to the brethren, and he's telling them about what he's heard will happen. And he says, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear to myself. Why? To finish his course with joy. Shouldn't that be all our prayer, brethren, to carry through to the end, to finish our course with joy, and to finish the ministry which he'd been given, that ministry he realized was all of God's grace, brethren? You know, brethren, his purpose, he really had a special role in the church early on of molding, you know, the Jewish part of the church and the Gentile part of the church. This is why he's going to Jerusalem. He's going with alms, basically, for the brethren who were, you know, in distress there. Okay? So he's willing to suffer for himself going to prison because he sees this larger goal of helping the church to continue together, both the Jewish and the Gentile sides. He fully put this in the Lord's hands. You know, you want to think about when you get to the other side and you look back on your experiences, you know, have you gone on to finish your course with joy? It's really just a short time, brother. It may seem long, but it's really short. In Psalm 73, brethren, I think this text, this passage is really special to me because I'm a little bit younger than most of the brethren. And I've seen a lot of the older brethren have very difficult trials. And sometimes, brethren, get set on the shelf kind of at the end. Sometimes the trial is reviewing their life and it seems like they didn't do anything for the Lord. It's very hard to see, especially with ones who've been such a blessing and a help to you. If you try to encourage them and they can't receive it, that's often an experience of brethren at the end. The psalmist says to us, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire than you." As the brethren near the end of their course, the treasures are laid up, the faithful, the treasures are laid up in heaven. They're looking forward to that home on the other side, dear brethren. And this is the intent of their heart. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Sister Mildred Raffel told us one time, that for her, aging was about learning about your limits, that more and more there are things you can't do. And she went on to say, you know, it helped her to realize all the things the Lord did she didn't see before, because she was up and doing and she thought it was her. Now that she couldn't do those things, she could see how the Lord was overruling and taking care. Well, brethren, to me, that's like saying as we age, it's more and more an opportunity to see the Lord's hands, to draw closer to Him. And I think this is well expressed in my, excuse me, my flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart. That the attitude is, whatever experience it is, I'm going to bear that for the Lord. Brethren, if you have hard experiences, the Lord sees you have strength to bear. We don't often think about it, but it's really a compliment from the Lord that whatever it is you have, that you can bear that experience for Him. Oh, brethren, I have one thing I want to read, and I left it in my book bag. One second. Brother, we hope this helps just in looking at our experiences. And this poem we're going to read, we think just is very helpful. It's called How Will You Die? This is on page 298 in the poem book. Will you tackle that trouble that came your way with a stalwart heart and cheerful? Or hide your face from the light of day with a craven heart and fearful? Oh, a trouble's a ton, or a trouble's an ounce, or a trouble is what you make it. It isn't the fact that you're hurt that counts, but only how will you take it. You're beaten to earth, well, what of that? Come up with a smiling face. It's nothing against you to fall down flat, but to lie there, that's disgrace. The harder you're thrown, the higher you bounce. Your physician will make you whole. You fell seven times? That's not what counts. Press on to your promised goal. The battle is hard. Severe the cross? And others cry, turn back? Ah, soldier true, count all else loss, and nothing you will lack. And as your courage higher mounts, your foes from you will fly. You'll die, of course. That's not what counts. But only how will you die?